One of those present asked, "Would it not appear then that the difference between before and after Petersburg was that before Petersburg there was Gilui Ar, in other words, the revelation of light, meaning that the Alter Rebbe's earlier teachings gave us Hasidim a direct perception of spiritual truth, while afterwards began the stage of Haskalah, literally intellectualization. In other words, he now guided his Hasidim in their meditative quest for the comprehension of spiritual truth through a more scholarly exposition of the teachings of Hasidus?" The Rebbe answered as follows. How can one say the stage of Haskalah began? For according to this conception, Ur and Haskalah are two separate entities. There having been first a period of Ur, following which there began a period of Haskalah. As if to say, thus far extends the realm of Ur. From this point on begins the realm of Haskalah. This is simply not the case. Heaven forfend that we should draw such a distinction between, on the one hand, Ur, light, and between, on the other hand, the seichel of Chassidus, its intellectual dimension, for the latter is a divine order of intellect. The truth is that not only can Haskalah without Ur not be called Haskalah, this being axiomatic, but moreover, Ur, which is bereft of Haskalah, is not light from the world of Tikkun, literally order, it is light from the world of Tayu Vavayu, literally chaos. Haskalah and Ur are as one, body and soul. Or, on a deeper level, they correspond to Naran, Nefesh Ruach Neshama, and Chaya Chaya Yechida. This is the rule. Ur without Haskalah is not Ur, and Haskalah without Ur is not Haskalah. Rather, once a person's mind has been illuminated by the Haskalah with which it had been occupied, then the person, if he is one who discerns things in truth through the Aveda of prayer, can perceive that he has before him on the one hand the body of the matter, that is its Haskalah, or on the more inward level the Naran of the matter, and on the other hand its soul, that is its Ur, or on the more inward level the Chaya and Yechida of the matter. That which is today known as Haskalah is in fact a veil. Concerning Moshe Rabbeinu it is written, "And behold, the skin of his face was luminous, and they, the children of Israel, were afraid to approach him." Moshe Rabbeinu himself, however, did not know that his face glowed. For as far as the revelation of divine light that illuminated him is concerned, the beginning and end were the same. That is to say, before it became known to him that his face was luminous, there was a revelation of light. And after it became known to him, there was likewise a revelation of light. It was only by means of the veil that the distinction came into being between, on the one hand, the time during which he either spoke to the Holy One, blessed be He, or taught the Torah to the children of Israel, these times being without the veil, and on the other hand, all other times, when there was a veil. It was thus by means of the veil that he too learned that the skin of his face was radiant. Now this veil is, in general terms, today's Haskalah, and it is a source of nourishment for those self-styled maskilim, those who study Chassidus but do not occupy themselves with the service of the heart, nor with refining their character attributes, nor do they conduct themselves according to Chassidus, who think that Haskalah and Ur are two separate entities. This is a veritable heartache. But today is Yom Tov, so we should really be speaking only of things that cause delight. As far as the essential being of the Alter Rebbe is concerned, there was no difference between before and after Petersburg. The experience of Petersburg, of course, affected and drew upon him a noteworthy elevation, analogous to the elevation experienced by a soul when it descends to this world to be clothed in a body. For the soul's descent is exile and captivity. But if it brings to realization the divine intention underlying its descent, this realization elevates the essential being of the soul to an exceedingly lofty degree. At such a degree of elevation was the Alter Rebbe after Petersburg. But as far as his revelation of light to others was concerned, that is, in relation to his disciples and Hasidim, The situation before and after Petersburg may respectively be compared to the situation of Moshe Rabbeinu before he was obliged to wear the veil and after he was obliged to wear the veil. The veil was worn by Moshe Rabbeinu so that the people should not be nourished by the rays of glory except when he was teaching them Torah. For he removed the veil from his face when speaking with God, and likewise when he taught the Torah to Aaron, his sons, the elders, and all of Israel. If so, what did the veil accomplish? Its function may be understood by comparison with the function of Tzimtzum and the familiar analogy of a Rav teaching his pupil. Where it is through Tzimtzum that the teaching can be transmitted, so too in our case, the very existence of a veil and the knowledge that one needs a veil. This is the difference between before Petersburg and after Petersburg. A query from one of the listeners. If so, then the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu did not know that the skin of his face was radiant is in itself a virtue. The Rebbe's reply follows. Not knowing and not feeling the loftiest of one's own level is without a doubt a wonderful virtue. This is the bittul of tikkun in all its superiority to the bittul of tayu. The latter is also a wonderful degree of self-effacement, but this is a bittul which may be perceived by another. One's fellow is able to see just how self-effacement one is. True, a person in this situation does not sense his existence, Metzius as such. He is an atzmi, one who is absolutely true to himself, or etzem, and his etzem effaces itself before the light of the Infinite One, blessed be He, with a great intensity, as only an atzmi can be self-effacing. But this very intensity of self-effacement is in itself visible and recognizable as a metzius, as an empirical state of existence. Here then lies the superiority of the bittul of tikkun, for this is a self-effacement of one's very existence, bittul b'metzius, a state in which one's own existence is not felt at all. This will enable us to understand why in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu before he needed the veil, and in the case of the Alter Rebbe before Petersburg, there was a virtue in their not knowing that the skin of their holy face was radiant. There is indeed a virtue in such a situation, but this is true only of an individual. For with every virtue or rise in stature, if it changes, or if it is absent, this becomes a defect. That is, in the case of an individual, since the change was brought about by a personal or individual reason. But Moshe Rabbeinu and the Alter Rebbe are souls from the world of Atzilus, all-embracing souls, leaders of Israel. In each of them, for we are not dealing with here with an individual, the reason for a change is a comprehensive one, embracing all of Israel. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Alter Rebbe, their essential being in its entirety was the love of God, the love of Torah, and the love of their fellow Jew. Moreover, the entire aim of their self-sacrificing service was to bind these three together. In every kind of Jew, they saw the soul within, and invested it with the strength to prevail over the claims of corporality. This is clearly apparent from their conduct. When the children of Israel grow discontented, and how much more so when there is strife, Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with them in gentle terms. Not only does he show forbearance by forgiving all those who raise vulgar and lowly suspicions against him, he exerts himself and intercedes with heaven in order to restore peace. So too does the Alter Rebbe plead with his opponents, writing long conciliatory letters aimed at removing all the suspicions which have been raised against the teachings of Chassidus, explaining the various paths taken by the Chassidim in the service of Hashem, and in addition undertaking journeys which involve self-sacrifice, all for the sake of peace. The reason? To a leader of Israel, every Jew is as dear as the apple of his eye, as indeed it should be, according to the Torah. It follows that Moshe Rabbeinu is becoming aware of the need for a veil, and so too the change in the Alter Rebbe after Petersburg does not involve their own essential being. It relates to all Israel, for it was the material and spiritual good of Israel that occupied all their essential being. And with the fiery intensity of an Aveda, based on the concept of the Almighty and the Torah and Israel are all one, they led the community of Israel. One of the Hasidim present asked, would this not mean that the difference between before and after Petersburg was that before Petersburg there was a revelation of light, while afterwards Alter Rebbe's teaching resembled the Torah? For with the study of the Torah, even if a person has not yet attained a spiritual pitch, which is attuned to the level of the study, it is still Torah. The Rebbe gave his reply. Superficially, this described the situation in a general way. However, closer scrutiny aimed at ascertaining the truth of the matter shows that these two terms, light, and Torah, do not comprise the whole subject in all its truth. To explain in brief, before the need for a veil, that is, before Petersburg, there was a revelation of the luminary, Ma'ar, a revelation which was for everyone. After the veil of Petersburg, the luminary became fused with the Torah and presented itself in the garments of comprehension, which belonged to the world of nature. That is to say, before Petersburg there was a revelation of light without such garments of comprehension. After Petersburg, the luminary became fused with the Torah in order that it should bring about a refinement of the garments of comprehension. It is true that even if one is intellectually not at the level of the Torah one is studying, that is, the person reading the letters of the Torah does not grasp what he is saying, this is still Torah. This is also the case with the teachings of Hasidus, that if one reads without understanding, this is still Torah. And if a person goes along to hear Hasidic discourses, even if he understands little, nevertheless, a word or idea remains with him, and in its way can bring, and indeed does bring, all manner of good, is surely a positive thing. But the real truth is that if we are speaking of Hasidus, then if a person is not at the level of self-refinement demanded by the subject under discussion, this is not Hasidus. For Hasidus makes a Chassid, and such a study of Hasidus does not cause a person to become a Chassid, or at least to acquire a perception of the character attributes which Hasidus leads to. It's not what Hasidus is all about. It may be called knowledge, understanding, wisdom, but none of these constitutes Hasidus. The study of Hasidus should cause one to become a Chassid with the personal attributes that characterize Hasidus. If not, this is not Hasidus. The same questioner commented, but there are lofty levels of spiritual achievement that one cannot live at. To this the Rebbe replied, if one cannot live at such a level, then one cannot. Chassidus is inwardness. A chassid is a man of inner integrity, a pnimi. And such a person does not delude himself. He knows that there are various levels and not all of them are appropriate to him. There are levels which he is at. There are levels which he is not yet at. And there are levels which he is unable to attain. But one has to understand what is meant by saying that one is unable to attain them.